So a couple of weeks ago, we were in the hallway talking to, I was talking to Mike Hupfer, and I explained to him that we were going to have this commissioning service today, and that we're going to talk about the transition that after today, Pastor Brian will be the pastor of Faith Bible Church, and I will be whatever I am, but I will be something different. And so Mike said, "Well, what are you going to say?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. I haven't put that together yet." And he said, "Well, didn't you do one of these things for Joey?" And I said, "You know, matter of fact, I did one of those for Joey, a commissioning service kind of thing to Joey." And so we went out there August 28th of 2016, when Joey became the pastor of Maranatha Baptist Church, and I was the one who gave the charge to Joey. And then we had a meal, and then Pastor Curry, the man he was replacing, he gave a charge to the congregation. So what we're doing today is we're condensing both of those things down to one service. So I don't know how long this is going to take, but there'll be a charge to Pastor Brian. He's back in the back room there getting ready for it as we speak. And so there'll be a charge to Pastor Brian, and then there'll be a charge to the church. Now, whenever I preached this to Joey, I said, "You know, Joey," I said, "you probably have listened to your dad speak many, many, many times, and of the times that I have spoken to you, you probably have listened, oh, I don't know, 25, maybe 35% of the time, just giving a rough estimate. But I know Pastor Brian, he doesn't know me very well, and he hasn't heard me as much as my son Joey has. So, you know, there's more hope for him than there is than there was for my son." So we're going to do a two-part sermon, if we could say that. And the charge, the first one will be to Pastor Brian, and you know it's to Pastor Brian because I have it right there on the screen, so that you know it's like, should I pay attention now or should I pay attention later, you know, that kind of thing. And I realize that in your minds you have this opportunity at this point in time to say, "Well, you know, this part really doesn't apply to me because I'm not Pastor Brian, or so, you know, why do I have to listen to this part of the sermon?" And well, you know, the obvious answer is this: if you don't know what I said, how do you know whether he's listening or not? How can you remind him and say, "Well, you remember when Pastor McNally's here and he said da 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 da"? I don't know if you're doing that or not. You know, I took copious notes of this, of this sermon, and you better get on the ball here and do what needs to be done. I'm just teasing. You realize that? And so the second part is I won't jump ahead. You'll understand. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a little break in between part A of the sermon and part B of the sermon. Get you stand up and, you know, just stretch for a second, and then we'll go on to part B, which is to the church, which obviously you guys need to take heed to for the future of Faith Bible Church. And also, I'm sure Pastor Brian will be taking copious notes of what I said on the second half, so that he can say to you, "Oh, you remember what Pastor McNally said." So here we go. Let's start out with becoming the pastor of Faith Bible Church and the challenge. Okay, turn if you are already in Joshua chapter 1, right? In Joshua chapter 1, if you remember, the God is speaking to Joshua, and God is speaking to Joshua in a very specific and particular situation here. If you remember, Moses was the man that God had chosen to lead the people out of the nation of Israel. He was the one to do all the miracles. He was the one to lead them for the 40 years in the wilderness. But the same thing happened to Moses that happens to every single one of us. He got old. He got tired. He got worn out. And it's time for the new man to step in. Now, you realize that, obviously, I'm not Moses, Pastor Brian's not Joshua, and so we're, you know, just painting a picture here of what's taking place in the transition of leadership. And so interesting what God says about this this transition of leadership. And let's start reading. We'll begin reading at verse 1. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto a land which I will give to thee, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, to the land of the Hittites, and the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your borders. And thou shalt not, and there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And then he goes in and tells them what he wants to say. Now, we know that it's important what God said to Moses. First of all, we know it's important because God said it, right? And what God says, that's important. The other thing, the way we understand it's how important it is he says it three different times. And, you know, we all understand that, those of us who have children, that sometimes you don't just have to say something one time. And each time we say it, usually there's more emphasis on it and more desire for the results to be heeded. But God is sharing with Joshua this little thought. In verse number 6, he says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them." Okay? And what I want us to understand or to think about it was that, you know, there were multitudes of people in the nation of Israel that God could have chosen to be the leader of that country, to take them into the promised land, but he put his hand on a certain man. He put his hand on Joshua. Now, we know that Joshua had some experience, that he had worked with Moses, but God put his hand on Joshua. He didn't say, you know, "I'm going to form a committee of people to lead the people into the land." He didn't say, "We're going to have, you know, all the people that believe in a particular doctrine to lead them into the promised land." No, he put his hand on one man and he spoke to that one man. And I believe that even as God led my wife and I to come here to this church X number of years ago, that God has put his hand on Pastor Brian and Stacy to come here to be the pastor of Faith Bible Church, to be the leader of the church, to be the shepherd of the church. And that, you know, God is going to work through him, going to work in him, going to direct him. And one of the things that I had to come to grips with early in my ministry, and Brian will too if he hasn't already done that, is the fact that you know, God's hand is upon this calling. And you know, all of us would say, as we have looked at, you know, what has taken place in the search committee and the organization for it, and finding the right folks that we wanted, and coming and voting and all that kind of stuff. A number of people have said to me, you know, you can really see God's hand on what has gone on at this point in time. And so whenever we recognize, we think about that God has put his hand upon them, that you know, the Brian is the man that God has put his hand on to be the leader of Faith Bible Church at this point in time. And how many years that is, you know, whatever God decides, however God directs, but at this point in time, he is that person. And we need to understand that, and Pastor Brian needs to understand that you know, that he is the one. So he needs to be strong and courageous in his leading, because, you know, God is the one who's chosen him. I know that there's a vote of the congregation, and, you know, we wanted the vote to go a certain way and all of those kinds of things, but still it was the leading of God. It was God's hand, God's direction, God's hand to lead them, to direct them, to come here to be the pastor, the leader of Faith Bible Church as we move forward into the next generation generation, the next season of life for Faith Bible Church. Now, it's interesting that God does not leave Pastor Brian, didn't leave Joshua without any instructions on what to do or how to do it. Notice what is said in the next verse, in verse number 7. He says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that thou may prosper wherever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Now, we realize in the context of what he's talking about here in this passage of Scripture that, you know, he's talking about the Old Testament law here, because obviously the rest of the Old Testament hadn't been written, the New Testament hadn't been written. But you see the fact of how God puts his authority in his word. God puts his authority in his book. God puts his authority in his revealed truth that he has given to us. And so Pastor Brian is not, you know, helpless and hopeless, wondering, you know, where should I go? What should I do? What's, you know, what's the plan? You know, God has already staged that out. God has already given to that. But the command is to be strong and of good courage, because in the day and age that we live in, standing and living according to the Scriptures and the Word of God is not something that's looked upon as saying, oh, you know, that's the way we should do it. That's the right thing to do. People are not held up for their biblical standards, for their biblical convictions. They're torn down. We were just talking about that. Al was talking about that in Sunday school today. And it's going to take Pastor Brian to be strong and of good courage to, you know, to stand up for the things of the Word of God, not just in the community, but, you know, even in even in Faith Bible Church, because there's always, you know, seeds of compromise, seeds of disunity, those kinds of things that come into the church, and you know, and the bottom line, or the buck stops with Pastor Brian, and you know, he needs to say, well, you know, we can't do that because, you know, that's not what God says, or we need to do this because that's what God says, and understand that you need to be strong of good courage to do that. And notice the beauty of that as we go along in the passage of Scripture at the end of verse number 7, where he says, "Don't turn to the left hand or to the right hand. Follow exactly what the Word of God says." When you follow exactly what the Word of God says, you don't turn to the right hand or the left hand. He says that thou may prosper wherever you go. That there is prosperity in doing the things of God. Now, does prosperity mean lots of money? Not necessarily. Prosperity means that you're fruitful in the works that God has given to you. And so, Pastor Brian needs to be strong in the Scriptures and following after the Word of God and doing what God says. And again, as the search committee talked to him, you know, one of the things that they talked to him about was, you know, the belief and the inspiration, the infallibility, the verbal inspiration of the Scripture, you know, all of those kinds of things. And you know, there's no issue of where he stands on those things, but sometimes in the outliving, the practical outliving of those things, it's tough. There's challenges. There's things that come in and just try to erode away on that. But, you know, God says be strong and of good courage to live those things out. Notice the last thing, last time that he says this in verse number 9, he says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go." He's saying to you, Pastor Brian, he says, you know, God is with you wherever you go. Be strong and of good courage, because God's person is with you. Now, you realize that, you know, here whenever he was speaking to Joshua, he was saying to Joshua, he said, you know, Joshua, you know, God's presence is going to be with you. But we know in New Testament, our New Testament theology is what? That the Holy Spirit lives in us every single moment of every single day. And the Lord said he's never going to leave us or forsake us. And so so in that strength and in that courage, we can do that. We can be strong in our relationship with God and our leadership and our pastoring skills. Why? Because God is with us. And obviously, as a pastor, you have to seek the Lord's direction, the Lord's help, and the Lord's desires in your ministry as you search through the Word. You know, every issue that you run into in life and life of a church is not black and white in the Scripture, and so there's some things that you have to work through and deal with. But he says, Pastor Brian, be strong and have good courage. I love the way God said this in verse number 9. He says, have not I commanded you? It's really saying what? Do it! Right? You got that? That's what he's saying. Be strong and of good courage. Do it. Be that man of God that God wants you to be. Now, pastoring is really an interesting art, occupation, job, however you look at it. And the fact that you have to have a balance. Okay? You have to have the balance on the one side of being strong and being courageous and being a leader who is up front and giving direction and vision kind of thing. But there's also another side of it. And let's turn over, if you would, to number 5 of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter writes to elders there, and just really a classic, beautiful picture of what it is to be a pastor of a church, pastor of a group of people. And so in 1 Peter chapter 5, there are three different words that are used in the New Testament for somebody who is a pastor. The one is the word that we translate our English word elder from, and the other one is the English word that we translate as bishop, and the other one is the English word that we translate as shepherd. And when you look at these three different words, you get really a picture of what an elder is, what a pastor is, what a bishop is. You get a picture of what it is, but also what their job is, what their responsibility is. And so in 1 Peter chapter 5, we see the other side of the pastoral ministry. So Pastor Brian, as you think about that, not only does God want you to be strong and of good courage, but God also wants you to be what he says in 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's look there. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1, he says, the elders who are among you, I exhort. Okay? And the word elder here has the idea of somebody who is old. Okay, so we have a lot of elders here. Don had a birthday the other last Sunday. How many remember celebrating Don's birthday last Sunday? How many remember how old he was? 80? What was it, 80? He's only 70. I'm just having fun with Don. But it's the idea of somebody who is has maturity, somebody who has wisdom, somebody who has grown in the Lord. And just because a person is elderly, aged, it doesn't mean that they have the wisdom. It doesn't mean that they have the knowledge. It doesn't mean that they have abilities in the elder area. The other side of that also is just because a person is young, it doesn't mean that they don't have the wisdom of an elder. It doesn't mean that they don't have the understanding of the elder. It doesn't mean that they don't have the knowledge of an elder. So it's really not age, even though that they look at this and say, age is a factor, which, certainly the longer you live, the more experience you have. But what do you do with those experiences? How do you learn and understand, and how do you teach and encourage and act in a mature manner, in a mature way? And so that's the word elder that we're looking at here. It says, the elders who among you, Peter says, I I exhort whom also an elder. Okay, so he's saying what? I'm also an elder. I'm one of those who has wisdom, understanding, somebody who is a leader in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm an elder. And notice he doesn't say he's apostle, but he puts himself at a level of somebody who was an elder, even though he was an apostle. He says, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker in the glory that shall be revealed. Now, notice what he says there. He says, feed the flock of God, which is among you. And the word feed there is the idea of poimeno. It's the idea of somebody who is a shepherd who is taking care of their sheep. Now, we have spent time in John chapter 10 in the last month or so just talking about how Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, the great shepherd. He laid down his life for the sheep, and the sheep know his voice, and they follow him. And it's interesting that when using this illustration of somebody who is a shepherd, is that the sheep follow somebody who is a shepherd. But if a shepherd turns around and looks behind him and there are no sheep, he's got to ask himself a question. Am I really a shepherd if I don't have any sheep that are following me? And the answer would be, no, I'm just a guy out for a walk in the wilderness. You know, there has to be some sheep that are following after a shepherd. And so that's why he uses this picture here of somebody who is a shepherd, somebody who feeds the sheep, somebody who cares for the sheep, somebody who looks after the sheep, somebody who provides for the sheep. And so, you know, you get this balance on the one side of being strong and courageous, of somebody's the type A personality that's, you know, gonna, you know, tear the world upside down. But then on the other side of that is somebody who cares for sheep and realizes sheep have struggles and trials and difficulties, and there's, you know, compassion and there's graciousness and there's mercy and all of those kinds of things that are involved in it. Then he goes on in this passage of scripture and just lost my place. Sorry about that. In this verse, and he says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight. Okay? That's the third word that is used of somebody who is a leader in a church, somebody who is a pastor of a church, is somebody who is taking the oversight, somebody who is, sort of looking over, you know, everything that's going on, somebody who's, you know, setting a vision for where the church is going, somebody who is desirous for the church to go forward, somebody who is looking after everything that's going on. Basically, it's talking about, you know, somebody where the buck stops at their house. And it's funny about that. We were my wife and I were talking the other day about a church someplace, I forget what it was, and we never used the name of the church. You know, we never said it was Grace Baptist Church. You know, we never said it was the Apostolic Church. We called the church by the pastor's name. You know, Pastor So-and-so's church. And why do we call it Pastor So-and-so's church? Because we know that if whatever takes place, Pastor So-and-so is either going to get the credit or the blame, one of the two. Because he's the one who has the oversight. He's the one who has that responsibility of, you know, what takes place at that particular church. Not that he, you know, is able to handle every situation or stop or start any of those kinds of things. But notice what he says. He says, feed the flock of God, be a shepherd to the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight of it, not by constraint, but willingly. With a desire, a heart for those kinds of things, a passion for the Church of Jesus Christ and growth and ministry to people and helping people to grow. He says, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage. Okay? Being the pastor of a church doesn't make you the dictator of the church. You're not the lord of the church. You know, the Lord Jesus, he is the one who is the Lord. The Lord of the church is God himself. So he says, you're not a lord over the church. But notice what he says here. It's just really powerful. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but be an example to the flock. Be an example to the flock. How do I raise my kids? Well, how's Pastor Brian do it? How do I handle a difficulty? Well, how's Pastor Brian do it? And you look at this as an example. And again, and I'm not, certainly not holding him up as being perfect. I talked to Stacy, and she filled me in. He's not perfect. Of course, the other pastor that you have, if you talk to Becky, you'd find out he's not perfect either. You know, it's just, you know, that's just the way we are. But an example is, you know, a person who's seeking to do the right thing as much as he possibly can and tries to, you know, encourage other people in the same kind of thing. And when you mess up, you say, you know, I was wrong, I'm sorry, and you go on from there. But the picture here is that, you know, be an example of somebody who is an elder, one who is mature and godly in wisdom. And that's going to be a challenge for Pastor Brian. Because, you know, there's a lot of you guys that are older than he is. And you know how older guys talk to, think about younger men? Not always in the best light. Sonny, Junior, you could be my son. You know, all of those things. You need to be careful about those kinds of things, those kind of comments, those kinds of thinking, because God has put Pastor Brian in the place, as we talked before, to be here at this point in time for this purpose. Number two, as a bishop, one who takes the oversight of God's church. You know, it's a responsibility that God has put upon him to be the leader of the church. And third, as a shepherd, one who meets the needs of the church family as much as possible or seeks people to help them do those kind of things. And so when we're thinking about the job of a pastor, it's not always fun. It's not always joyful. But it's always there. And so, as we think about that, Pastor Brian, be strong and of good courage, and be an example. Okay, let's all stand up. I'll give you 30 seconds. Ready, go. I didn't say leave. I just said to stand up. Okay, everybody sit down. 30 seconds is over. It's a quick 30 seconds, you know. Okay, now let's go on. Sermon number two. Shorter. To Faith Bible Church. Okay, next sermon. What's the church's responsibility to Pastor Brian? And those of you that are here for Sunday school this morning know that Mike got up and read my sermon notes to everybody about. But some of you weren't here, so I figured I'd go ahead and say it anyhow. So let's start with what I think to be the most important thing. Turn over, if you would, to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And realize that the Apostle Paul was the one who wrote 1 Thessalonians, right? He wrote 1 Thessalonians to encourage the church there. And at the end of the book, in chapter 5 and verse 25, the Apostle Paul says something really neat. He says, "Brethren, pray for us." Now, just think about that for a second. Here is the man who was the, you know, if we were to idolize, you know, the best Christian who has ever lived, we would say, wow, you know, Paul's got to be there. You know, Paul was that one, you know, starting churches and, you know, witnessing to people and, you know, all the suffering that he went through and the persecution, all those kind of things. And notice what he says. He says, "Pray for us." And I know that Pastor Brian and Stacy would say the same thing to you in regard to them. Pray for them. Pray often for them. Pray regularly for them. Pray daily for them. And I wrote down a few things that you ought to pray. You ought to pray for them to grow. in their relationship with God and their skills, ministry skills, and their ability to handle situations, grow in their marriage, grow in every aspect of service for the Lord Jesus. Growth is something that's important that all of us need to be involved in. Pray for them to have wisdom, understanding of situations, of the word, of people. I don't know if you thought about this, but can you imagine what it's like to come into a group of, you know, 60, 70, 80 people that you don't know? And try to figure out, first of all, you know, what's your name? Second of all, who are you related to? And third of all, where do you fit in to this? I was going to say mess, but that's not the right word. Where do you fit into this vibrant group of people? You know, where do you fit into this thing? Because we all have, you know, different places and different pieces. Okay, and pray for them to have knowledge. Understand how does that all go together, and then try to minister on top of that. You know, praying is so very important. Pray that they would have peace. Think about moving from the Midwest. I mean, I can understand why anybody would want to move out of the Midwest. It is a horrible place out there. But anyhow, move from the Midwest. Understand why, you know, they moved from the Midwest to live here. And this is different, you know. I thought, you know, when we lived in Pennsylvania, I thought, well, you know, New England, you know, it's pretty close to Pennsylvania. It's about, no, we were, you know, it's a different world. You know, so you're understanding. Have peace in that. You know, a long way from family and all of those kinds of things. Pray that God would give them peace in their lives. Give them long suffering. Give them long suffering because, you know, some of you guys are tough to live with. I'm not going to mention any names. I'm not even going to share any initials. But some people are tough. Long suffering, patience. Pray that God would give them mercy and grace. Mercy and grace to share with you, mercy and grace in their lives, and also pray for their marriage. Because one of the ways that God gets at leadership in churches is through the marriage, through the family. And just ask God every day, God help them, God meet their needs, and you don't need to know what the needs are, but ask God to work in their lives and to help them. That's one of your responsibilities. And I know a number of you have said that you, to me, over the years, that we've been praying for you, you know, talk about me. And I have so much appreciated that. And just, you know, turn that on to Brian and Stacy and ask God to just help them in all the things that they need, even though you don't understand them. Number two, obey them. Whoa. Nobody likes to obey anybody, do they? The only person I know that likes to obey is my wife. She likes to obey me. I'm smiling when I say that. You got that, right? Turn over to the book of Hebrews, if you would. Turn over to the book of Hebrews in chapter 13. Now, let me just put this into context about this obedience thing. If Pastor Brian comes over to your house and he says, you know, I don't think you should be planting tomato plants. You really should be growing green beans, peppers, and apricots. You know what you say to him? Go mind your own business. I'll grow whatever I want to grow. That's not what we're talking about. Obedience, and, you know, if Pastor Brian comes over and says, you know, that couch in front of the window really doesn't look good. You know, you need to change, rearrange this room. And we're not talking about, you know, silly kinds of things, but we're talking about the important things, the things of the Word of God. Talking about the things of Scripture, talking about the things that are preached, and many times we don't like to grasp them. We don't like to put them into practice. We don't like to do them. Notice what he says in Hebrews, and again, I believe Paul was the one who wrote Hebrews. He says in verse 7, he says, remember them who have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their manner of life. Okay? So here's this idea of, you know, following the shepherd, follow the one who is preaching the word of God, follow the one who is the teacher, follow the one who is, doing this ministry. And then skip over to verse 17. He says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is not profitable for you. And again, you think of what he's saying here. He says, obey them, talking about obeying the commands, the directives of Scripture that they preach and teach and encourage you to grasp hold of and put those in your life. He says, because they're going to give an account. And I don't know how that all works out, and I'm sort of fearful of that, to tell you the truth, because I'm in that category, to give an account of people, their lives, not only mine, but other people, and you want to give it with joy. I remember a number of years ago, it goes back to when I had my office out front here, there was a lady that came in to talk to me. She was a member of our church. She has since gone many years ago, but she came in and she asked me about something that she wanted to do. She said, "Pastor, I want to do this. I think this is what I should do," kind of thing. And I opened up the scriptures to her and I said, I don't think this is the right thing. God says that this isn't the right thing. I don't think you ought to do this. And so she went ahead and she did it anyhow. And years go by, 3, 4, 5 years go by, and she comes back into my, sits down in the study again, and she said, "You know what?" She said, "I wish I would have listened to you whenever you told me that the first time, because I made a humongous mistake." And again, it wasn't because I had wisdom beyond my years, or I was really intelligent or anything like that. I was just sharing principles of the Word of God. And if she would have listened to those truths of the Word of God, put those into practice in her life, she would have had, instead of sorrow over all those years, there would have been blessing that are there. And all of us, have done the same thing. We know what God wants us to do. When we don't do it, we know the struggle there. And so we need to obey the teachings of the Word of God. We need to obey what Brian shares from the Scriptures, not in those trivial things of life, but talking about the real things that matter in relation to the Word of God. Number three, turn over, if you would, to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we need to give Pastor Brian respect. It's interesting that how Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 12 and 13. I'll read the verses to you in just a second. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, he says, "We beseech you, brethren, to know them who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you." Okay, here are the people that are, the elders, the bishops, the shepherds of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "We beseech you to know them who labor among you and are over you in the Lord." And then verse 13, he says, "And esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Okay? Esteem them highly because of the calling that God has put upon their life. Because God has called them into ministry. God has put them into a place of leadership in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's a responsibility there to do what? To esteem them, respect them for the work that they have. And even though, you don't agree with everything that somebody says, there has to be a level of respect, a level of esteem, a level of notice what he says. He says, esteem them very highly in love, doing what's best for them, for the work's sake. And then notice the end of the verse, it says, and be at peace among yourselves. Because there's nothing worse than being the leader of, the pastor of, a group of people that don't get along with one another. And that's our responsibility, to love one another. Last one. Support him. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you would. And this support comes in a couple of different flavors, a couple of different colors, a couple of different ways. Support him. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we want to look at verse number 14, then we'll jump over to another passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 14, he says, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they who preach the gospel should live by the gospel." Now, he's referring to the fact there that, the person who is the preacher of the gospel, that, you know, the people who hear the gospel, the people that respond to the gospel, the people that are, you know, part of the church, it's their responsibility to provide for, support, meet the financial needs that a person has. And so the idea is that the church is, you know, needs to take the responsibility, the financial responsibility for meeting the needs of the pastor. And, you know, it's not just, I don't think, just talking about money, but he's also talking about, you know, friendships, and he's talking about words of encouragement. He's talking about helping, you know, those kinds of things. And then over in 1 Corinthians, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, there's another interesting little thought that goes along with this, the idea of encouraging and supporting and helping the person who is the pastor of the church. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, "He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." And that would be Pastor Brian, a pastor, teacher of the church. He gave them for what? The perfecting of the saints. The idea of maturing, helping the church to mature in their relationship with God. She says, for, or so that, or in order that, the saints can do the work of ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. Okay? And so the idea here is that, you know, God has given pastors and teachers to do this work of ministry maturing so that those folks that mature can do what? They can do the work of ministry. And I wanted to make here is that, you know, all of the ministry that takes place at Faith Bible Church isn't to be done by Pastor Brian. Every one of the church members, everyone who's a part of Faith Bible Church needs to use their gifts, their skills, their abilities to build up the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's one of Wes's favorite sermons, right, Wes? And that's one of your favorite ones? Wes's favorite sermons that he likes to share, that God has in given each one of us these gifts and abilities to use, and we need to use them in the context of the local church to build it up so that we can go forward and grow in the decades and generations that go before us. Now, let me just throw in a couple of extra things for free. And that is supporting your pastor. Obviously, financially is one of the ways to do that, but there's also other ways that you can support your pastor. We've already talked about praying, but one of the ways that preachers really like to be supported is that whenever they preach, the people come and listen to what they have to say. Just show up. You don't even have to act like you're alive. Just show up. You can sleep through the whole thing. Just show up. You getting the point here that I'm throwing out here? Just show up. Come. Be a part. Show that you're alive. You can give him support by saying, I've always hated this one when people have said this to me. Oh, Pastor, that was a good sermon. Here's the reason I never liked this is, one, how do you respond to that? And then you never know why it was good. Was it good because it was short? Was it good because there were stories in there I liked? Was it good because, you know, you really ripped my husband or my wife and they really needed to be ripped in that area? Was it good for, you know, and there could be, you know, 25 different reasons why it was good, things that I never had thought of. But a response to encourage somebody is, you know, whenever you were talking about thus and so, you know, that was really an encouragement to me. Or, you know, I never understood thus and so, because then the preacher says, wow, they weren't sleeping, they were paying attention. Isn't that neat? Huh? We like that. So you encourage them in that way. You encourage them by showing up. You encourage them by, you know, making statements like that. You encourage them by saying, how can I help you? And then whenever he asks for help, to put down whatever thing you're doing and actually help. Oh yeah, I would, you know, I said I would help you, but I would love to do this, but you know, my dog needs to go for a walk. It hasn't walked in, you know, 2 years. I need to take that thing for a walk. Or, you know, you come up with, you know, some kind of, and again, sometimes excuses are valid, but you know, many times they're not. Help. Because he needs help. That's about all I have to say in regard to that. So at this point in time, we're going to have Pastor Brian come up, and he's going to sit down in our special chair. The deacons are going to come up, and we're going to lay hands on him, and we're going to pray. And at that point in time, the transition will have been made. So, gentlemen, if you could come. That's the special chair.
Father God, we thank you for this time that we've thought about for years, that we've planned for quite some time, a time of mixed emotion, of joy, that you are providing peaceful continuity for Faith Bible Church, of sadness that Pastor and Becky are moving on to their next stage in your plan for their lives, and they won't be with us physically. With anticipation for the work that you will do through Brian and Stacy. So Lord, we lift them to you, we lift Brian to you, we lift ourselves to you. We pray for your anointing, your leading. We pray that although we won't remember all the words, that you will cause Brian and this congregation to follow the wise instruction of Pastor Joe as we move into the future in our lives of this church. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've taught us over these decades under Pastor Joe's leadership, all you've taught us about trust and obedience and love. We pray, Lord, that you would cause us to apply those things going forward. And we rejoice in the hope of all the hope that we have through the power of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Pray that you anoint Pastor Brian in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for bringing us to this point in time. So I just pray for Brian that he would be courageous, be strong, be an example in the flock. Also, I pray for the congregation that we would pray for him, help him do our part. Today we are changing pastors, but you don't change. We just thank you that you've given us that stability, that you are unchangeable. In Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, gracious Lord Jesus, we thank you for Brian and Stacy and for the way that you have worked in the life of this church in the past year to bring us to this place, to show us Brian and Stacy, to bring them to us. We know that your hand has been upon them, preparing them for us. And we saw firsthand your hand working in our lives to find him. So we thank you and praise you for the clear direction that you have given. Pray, Lord, for Brian to just lift him up. We know that this is a challenge probably beyond his imagination at this point. We know that it is a task greater than any man can handle. But we praise you and thank you that you give us the grace every single day. The grace that we need for that day. And that you give us the strength and the power to follow through on the things that you ask us to do. So we ask your power, your grace upon Brian today. We thank you that he is our pastor, and we ask for the grace for each of us to support him in the ways that Pastor McNally has shared with us this morning, and also as you lead us each and every day, as you prompt us, help us to follow those promptings. And Lord, we just ask your blessing upon him, give him strength for Brian, for Stacy, for their marriage, for their children. May their ministry be fruitful. May their ministry be just a blessing to all those that come in contact with it. Mm-hmm. And we just thank you in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm. Father, as we continue to pray, we just praise your name for bringing Pastor McNally with us and teaching us over all these years. And Father, we just now pray for Brian that you would just anoint him with your word, and that you would put a hedge of protection around him and Stacy, and that you would just watch over him. Father, use him for your honor and your glory, not to please any one of us, but that it would all be pleasing in your sight, Father. And we just give you the thanks and praise for just being our Savior, giving us an opportunity to be at this point in our lives and to go forth from here. We look for great and mighty things to continue on for your name's sake, Father. And we just ask a blessing upon this time. For it's in Christ's name.
O Lord, our Lord, majestic and glorious is your name. We come, Father, with excitement and enthusiasm over what you're doing in our midst. We thank you, God, that all the way down through scriptures, there were transitions from one leader to the next leader, and we thank you, God, for doing that today. We thank you, God, that you have brought the Steinbachs here, that you have given them a a wonderful love for you. You've taught them scriptures to be able to teach. We thank you, God, that you have worked in their lives and taught them to live by faith. We thank you, God, that you have given them a spirit of fun and humor and joy, and we just rejoice in that today, God, that you have brought them here to be the pastor of our church. We thank you, God, for not just today, but we look forward to the future. And God, we don't know what you're going to do. We know what you do is always the right thing, and we put our faith and our trust in the fact that you are going to lead and direct and challenge and encourage, and God, you're going to change. You're going to change our lives. You're not going to change, but you're going to change our lives, and we're going to grow, and we're going to develop and mature and be more like you, God. And I just pray, Father, for a good spirit in the church family to understand this time of transition, this time of change, and be willing, Lord, to do whatever it takes to move forward for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, for the testimony of Faith Bible Church here on Main Street in Winstead, and all the different towns that we have some kind of an impact in. And we just pray, God, that you would use the church as you have in the past and even in greater ways. We pray, God, for Steinbachs. We pray, Lord, for their marriage, that you would help them to love each other more as each day goes by. We ask you, God, to help them to raise their young children to love Jesus with all of their heart. And God, we know that in the day and age we live in, that's a challenge right there in of itself. We pray, God, that you would help them to have wisdom and understanding people and just making friends with the folks that are here. God, just so many things, but we know, God, that Brian and Stacy don't rely upon you to do these things. I mean, they don't rely upon themselves to do these things. They rely upon you, and we just ask, God, that you would help them in these things. And Father, for each one who is here today, we thank you, God, for the fellowship, the love that we all have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, God, that with excitement and enthusiasm, that maybe you, Lord Jesus, will come quickly, take us all home to glory, which would be a wonderful thing. But Lord, allow us to be faithful to you until that time that you take us to glory. We pray and ask in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Congratulations. God bless you.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I changed my mind. I told him earlier I had nothing to say. I just want to say thank you to the Lord for the work that he's done in our lives. Not just this last several months that we've been in contact with Faith Bible, but through our entire life. I also want to say thank you to each one of you who has already reached out to us. The meals that we have been given over the last several weeks are just appreciated. Including whoever dropped off the lasagna, your name wasn't on the list, but we came home the other night and there was a lasagna sitting on our back deck. So whoever you were, thank you. And to all of you, thank you very much. This is not something that I am taking lightly. This call to be the pastor here is something that I am giving my all for, to be a servant here at Faith Bible Church, and to shepherd and to set the example that Christ has laid out for me, so that as we grow together over these next however long the Lord keeps us here, 50 years, who knows, we can look back at the end of it and see this is how God has led us all the way.